against it by Ukraine and the Netherlands. Meanwhile, Russia said to be continuing to send a record number of drones and other types of missiles into Ukraine against civilian targets. Caitlin Clark has selected Indiana teammate Aaliyah Boston number one, while Nafisha Kala took her unrivaled business partner Brianna Stewart first in the WNBA All-Star Game draft. In the world of racing, Red Bull says Christian Horner has been released from his role as a longtime team principal of its Formula One team. This is SRN News.
Are you searching for good, conservative, theologically sound Bible books, commentaries, and teaching materials? Conservative Theological University has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite your telephone call. The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. What say you about compromise in the pulpit? Compromising with the world, compromising with the woke culture in which we're living in today. And most have said from the pulpit, the pastors, the churches, and the denominational leaders have harped on the fact that, well, you know, the 501c3 regulation, the rules and the regulations of the IRS have said that we can't do that. If we do, that we would lose our nonprofit status in preaching and teaching the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, that's been a fake, phony shroud of a reason, because multitudes simply did not want to talk about the truth of the gospel. So as a result of that, they have used that as their reason, their rationale that was irrational. But IRS just canceled that regulation. Let me read further in this article. Headline, IRS says churches can endorse political candidates without losing their tax-exempt status. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, that's a farce. That's a phony for 70 years. That's been the excuse that multitudes have used. There's never been a prosecutorial event as a result of preachers standing in the pulpit. Because let's face it, when you say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, and under our citizenship, the Declaration of Independence, and our religious liberty that we have in our Bill of Rights, we find, ladies and gentlemen, we have the religious liberty and the freedom of speech that we do not shroud, we do not shake off, we do not throw aside when we say yes to Christ, stand in the pulpit. Our religious liberty is not granted just for us to be inside the church doors, but it's the religious liberty and the freedom of speech that we have, regardless of where we are. The IRS says churches can now endorse political candidates without losing their 501c3 status. This article says, in summary, when a house of worship is in good faith seeking its congregation, speaking to its congregation through customary channels, that it is okay. I'm going to summarize it. Within the ordinary meanings of these words, the filing said. The filing was part of the joint motion by the IRS, the National Religious Broadcasters, and two Texas churches, Sandy Spring Church in Athens and First Baptist Church, WAKSOM, Waxom, I believe you would pronounce it, located in Texas, to settle it lawsuit through a consensual judgment. Those churches and the NRB sued the IRS last year, alleging the Johnson Amendment violated their First Amendment rights to freedom of speech and expression of religion, as well as other constitutional violations. So, ladies and gentlemen, finally, some churches banded together, stood up, spoke up, said, we're not going to take it any longer, and were successful. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, I'd like to talk about two things that you're talking about. You spelled the B-I-B-L-E. Now, that is a truth book. It's Holy Bible. It's He's Our Lord Yahweh.
That's right.
Because I believe eternal life, or life eternal. Boy, I tell you, now that's profound. But I went to a teacher at one of the colleges when I started into the ministry, and I asked him about Matthew 28, verse 1, and he explained to me about how it's in the original. And I said, well, how come there's not any preaching? I've never heard a message from anyone embracing that from the original. They take what we find in the King James and run with that. I've never heard a message on that, and I've always stood to what the original says. I know you quoted a while ago when you went back to tell what one word meant in the original, but no one has ever preached a message on what the original says. That Sabbath is in plural. In our English Bible we have now, it's singular. And that's where, and he told me, he said, well, it's just easier to go along with the crowd.
Well, sometimes that is the case, but when you look at the context, and I've always said, Brother Davis, that you've got to look at the context, and I've used in teaching in hermeneutics, there are five things important in biblical interpretation. Context, 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 context. If it's a text out of context, it's a pretext, should never be used for a text. But that's what we're finding today, is multitudes. What are your thoughts in relationship to the IRS final backing away from the false, phony, fallacious rule that they've had for 70 years?
Well, they didn't quite wise up yet whenever they talked about separation from church and state, because they've tried to keep their hand on what the churches did instead of us have our free thing. But yeah, they say separation, but that's sort of like speaking out of both sides of your mouth at one time.
Well, I call separation of church and state is in the Bible.
Yeah, absolutely,
and,
I do too.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, you find when King Uzziah wanted to go into the temple and offer sacrifice, the chief priest and 80 other priests says, King, you can't do that. That's left up to the priest, not the government. And that's my interpretation, the government. And he went in anyway, and God killed him.
Absolutely.
And so that is one of the best examples in the Bible where separation of church and state is real, where it says God can't intervene in the government cannot intervene in God's word and God's church and God's business. And yet we found the thing that, brother, that bothers me, it rattles my cage so much, is that we've had so many mealy-mouthed, spineless preachers that have used that as the shroud, the reason, the excuse not to preach the whole gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've heard me say for many years on this broadcast, we have those that are preaching goosebump theology, cotton candy theology, kitchen theology, and you shake them all together, it's voodoo theology, rather than preaching, teaching the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Without fear and without favor. I believe it's time we get back to that. It's my prayer that this at least will be a kind of a wedge that will say to the congregation, to Christians, that my pastor can't use that as an excuse anymore, and will insist that pastors stand and preach the Word of God. I believe that it is sad when we see a woke culture being brought into the churches, being brought into the pulpits of our churches, embraced by the pastors, and I'm going to talk about it in a minute, bringing out. You'd be surprised how many Christian colleges, Christian universities are accepting sodomite dollars today in order to inculcate in their curriculum the sodomite literature, the sodomite material, the LGBTQ in particular, and they're doing that for the numbers, nickels, and noses. So it demands our serious understanding, demands our prayer, and it literally demands that Christians everywhere hear this, understand it, embrace the truth, and stand up and speak up for truth. Brother,
even
thank you.
Death.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen.
God bless you, brother. Thank
God
you so much.
You.
Have a blessed day. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. What say you? Is it a good thing that the IRS, after 70 years, basically what they've done, if you want the Youngblood narrative, basically they've said, we made an error, we made a mistake, we're going to go back now and subtly try to change that error and modify that mistake. I believe that's exactly what they're saying. Here's something someone sent me online this morning. It says, this morning, praise God. So the IRS has reached a landmark decision and formally backed off the Johnson Amendment, a historic shift in religious freedom. Pastors can now endorse candidates from the pulpit, praying God may give you the courage to speak the truth, praying with and for the biblically minded candidates. Thomas Jefferson didn't invent the Declaration of Independence. He said it was the reflection of the American mind. What happened? The devil did what he does, and like a cancer, he attacked our spiritual liberty, twisting the meanings and planting seeds of fear and doubt over tax-exempt status. Civic liberty and responsibility and spiritual liberty are key. The Great Awakening gave birth to the American Revolution. The situation we're now in calls for spiritual revival, and it needs to begin in the churches and from our pulpits. That was the first Great Awakening. Are we awake now? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to understand just what is taking place. One of the things that's taking place as we understand this new change, this regulation, watered down excuse now, have you understood just why so many millennials today, 18 to 35-year-old age group in particular, why they're practicing a woke cultural mindset that is now also has now infiltrated into our churches? Have you ever wondered why the millennials today, listen, I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I'm not saying 100% of the millennials, but the survey, the statistical data proves this, that the millennials today, for the most part, embrace transgenderism, embrace it. Today, most millennials embrace the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. Today, most of the millennials feel that abortion is a choice and it is correct. Most millennials today believe that homosexual marriages are okay, a choice even for believers. Many of these millennials today believe that pro-Hamas, anti-America, anti-Jew are the essence of what we need to stand for and believe. They embrace and accept socialism. We have to ask the question, what has modified the thinking? What has changed? Ladies and gentlemen, it goes back to our colleges and our universities, our prestigious colleges and universities. In fact, it goes back to our religious learning centers of higher education. Listen, headline, Baylor University. Listen to this. I don't know if it bothers you or not. It blows my mind, if I can use that term. Baylor University receives $643,000 grant to foster LGBTQ plus inclusion in our churches. Let me read that headline again in case you didn't grasp it. Baylor University received $643,000 grant to foster, that means to embrace, to encounter, to bring into the belief system, LGBTQ plus inclusion in our churches. Let me read just a little bit of this. Love to hear from you. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Wanting us to understand why so many today in our churches embrace the woke culture, embrace the sodomite lifestyle, the transgenderism, and the homosexual marriages, etc., etc., etc. Why so many of our younger people today in our churches and coming from the pulpits will embrace the marijuana lifestyle, and say that it's okay. Why is that so? It's because this is being taught to them in our university system, even in our Christian universities. 904-831-0917. Does this cause you to awaken? Is this something you've considered? This headline says, Baylor University receives $643,000 grant to foster LGBTQ plus inclusion in our churches. Let me read some of the article. Baylor University has received the $643,401 grant from a liberal foundation for the purpose of fostering inclusion among the LGBTQ identified individuals in the churches. The hefty grant to the private Baptist Research University Center for Church and Community Impact. The grant's goal is to foster inclusion and belonging in the church, with an emphasis on understanding the disenfranchisement and inclusion exclusion of LGBTQ plus IA individual with and women with within the congregation, to nurture institutional courage and to foster change in our churches. One of its aims, said the is to prioritize organizations that are openly welcoming and affirming, and organizations that do not discriminate based on race, ethnicity, age, disability, sexual orientation, gender, gender identity, socioeconomic status, veteran status, geography, citizenship status, marital status, religion, or any other discriminatory reason. Wow. In other words, these major grants are being given to water down, to circumvent, to destroy, to ignore, and to change the gospel of Jesus Christ. Another gospel is what it's advocating. Another moral, another ethics, another value. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
I want to say, Dr. Youngblood, the problem is there's too many people that call themselves Christians, or as me, I call myself a follower of Jesus, that do not know the Word of God and are not centered on the Word of God. And that's the problem we're having. If you know the Word of God, the Bible is a mirror. It mirrors exactly what you are inside. It'll tell you every bad thing you do, and it'll tell you every good thing you do if you use that mirror properly. And people are not grounded in the truth anymore. They're not grounded in the Word.
Brother, you're exactly right.
That's the biggest problem.
You're exactly right. If you can hang on to it and put a little parenthetical footnote to that, get your take on it. This is not brand new. It is new in that the IRS says, in essence, we made an error 70 years ago. We're correcting that error. It's not new that we've had pastors for 70 years that have been spineless and without a backbone to stand and preach the full gospel. They want to preach and teach another gospel, a different gospel. And as Paul said in Galatians 3:1, they've been, who hath bewitched you? I believe they've been bewitched. And it's a demonic bewitchment. But one of the problems that we have, brother, is the fact that in our colleges and our universities, that we send our kids off and grandkids off to get a higher education and a credential in that realm in Christian colleges and schools, do not realize what's taking place in these Christian colleges and universities and schools. It is a woke agenda. Picture if you've got a professor that embraces the sodomite lifestyle, that embraces the transgenderism, that's taught to the students. Those students then come back home. They think mom is wrong, dad is wrong, their pastor's wrong. If the pastor, mom and dad, stands for the truth of the gospel, stands for morals, ethics and values, then somehow, some way, that the millennial, that young person, feels that somehow, some way, mom and dad's wrong. This is the reason, the only way that churches could stand for the woke culture and stand for the agenda that is antithetical to the scripture is because that's what they've been taught. Our pastors have been taught. Our pastors have been taught in these loose, lax, lost, liberal, anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Word, anti-Bible colleges and universities that happen to have a religious symbol on the door that make the community believe that it's a Christian college. What say you?
Well, I think the problem is they don't understand that the gospel comes with consequences. The Bible, there's consequences for your actions. Nobody wants to stand up for what they do wrong and pay the consequences. And that's the thing. They say, well, I can do what I want as long as I tell Jesus I'm sorry. And that's all that matters. Well, the problem is you need to get back to the stripped-down gospel. The spoken word does the work itself. It don't need nothing else, anything else added to it. They just need to go to the stripped-down gospel.
Amen. The scripture says the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And yet most people, as you said at the outset of your conversation, most people do not know what the Bible says. I've used the term, and some get a little uptight with this. I believe that many Christians today, or many that claim to be Christians today, are anemic, illiterate, immature, or plain out ignorant of what the scripture says. And it's because of getting pablum from the pulpits, because too many pastors have been afraid to stand on the truth of the gospel. And according to Galatians 1, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9, the Apostle Paul said to the churches at Galatia, you're preaching another gospel. It is the word eteros, a different gospel, not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we find today taking place. And I am thankful, thankful, thankful that RS has finally said that we made a mistake. We're going to cancel that. And I'm praying, brother, that it will cause many pastors to grow a spine, grow a backbone, and be willing to stand up, speak up, preach, and let the word be heard. But thank you so much for your calling. God bless you today.
One more thing, if you let me say it.
The yes, sir, go ahead.
The sermons are not the word anymore. They're a story, or they're whatever they want to say. If they don't stick to the gospel, they don't stick to the word of God. And if they would and stop telling their version of the gospel, it'd be different.
Absolutely. You're exactly right, brother. And thank you so much for your call. Let me just put a little footnote to that for your edification, ladies and gentlemen. It's back in 1996, a book published by Moody Press. Moody Press' first book on that subject was what they call storytelling preaching. Storytelling preaching. It's not. It was not then, and it has grown exponentially. It's not the custom today to preach the word expositionally, where you do expository preaching, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, so the listener can understand what does God say and why does he say it, where is it found, how do you defend the faith. It is storytelling preaching, where you just stand up and you don't exegete the scripture. You just tell the story, and then you have a lame application of it and how we apply it. Everybody's supposed to love everybody. We're supposed to love Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go home. That seems to be the mindset today, just as our caller just said, the gospel, full gospel, is no longer preached anymore. And that is the case. Here's a wrap-up in this article talking about Baylor University. It says, this is illuminating and sad, yet not at all surprising. Wrote Reverend Denny Burke, associate pastor at the Kentwood Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky. Quote, Baylor University has been moving away from Christian faithfulness for decades now, but it's still sad to watch another nail in the coffin of a once great Christian university, end quote. Quote, it's much better to send your child to a secular university hostile to the faith than to a Christian university like Baylor, wrote Reverend Matthew Kennedy, who serves as senior pastor of a church of the Good Shepherd, an Anglican church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Better the wolf with the bared fangs than the wolf disguised as a shepherd, end quote. Further, the article reads, the university remains associated with the Baptist General Convention of Texas and affirms biblical teaching. They affirm biblical teachings regarding sexuality, gender, and marriage. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, what Baylor University is saying, we can accept the sodomite dollars to teach sodomite lifestyle in the classroom and at the same time tell you that we're going to stick to and affirm biblical sexuality and what the scripture says. Ladies and gentlemen, that's bifurcating the truth, and it's an impossibility. It is impossible to stand on the truth and stand on a lie. It's impossibility to accept funds to inculcate in the curriculum the sodomite lifestyle and still say we're going to preach the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we may wonder no more. Our Christian religious schools, Christian and religious schools, our colleges, our universities are for the most part today embracing a sodomite agenda. Why is that so? Simply to grow numbers, nickels, and noses. A Christian university that's willing to let down the guard and to open the door to absolute immeasurable harm and danger to the life of the sons and the daughters and the grandkids that go to those universities. They're willing to do that to get the numbers, nickels, and noses, enrolling more students. As you water down the truth, as you water down the requirements, as you water down the ethics and the values and the morals, you'll get more and more students because they will not be alienated because of your stand. Do you realize in churches across America, there are people that will not go to certain churches because the truth is so standard? Savior, and the truth is so preached that the person does not want to be told about their sin, about their lifestyle, that there's the potential of dying and go to a devil's hell. The mindset is sometimes, some way, in many cases, in many of our churches today, that Christians, so-called, are wanting to have their ears tickled. They want to be told what they want to believe. They want to embrace what they prefer to believe. They want to embrace the bewitching from the pulpit than to stand for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we find that more and more in the society today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says, Russell Moore, he's former on the Ethics Commission for the Southern Baptist Convention. He is now the editor, chief editor for Christianity Today. Russell Moore warns Christians not to track Jesus' return based on the booming schedules of Israel and Iran. The article reads, it would be wise for Christians not to try to connect the current war between Israel and Iran to specific prophecies in the Bible in an effort to determine where we might be in the end times, says Dr. Russell Moore, editor-in-chief of Christianity Today. The mindset is, with Russell Moore, he's been a loose, lax, lost liberal for years. It's just not coming out of the shelter, pulling the shroud off, and showing the fangs, if as one would call it, he's not standing for the truth of the gospel. He is basically chiding Christians that we ought not to talk about prophecy. We ought not to look at current events and say where the world is going. Listen, God's word in his eschatological prophetic text tells us what God has done, is doing, and shall do. And we see those as signs, semions, road posts, road markers, directions as to where the world is going. So there's nothing wrong with taking what's happening in Israel, what's happening in Iran, what's taking place in Russia and Ukraine, what's taking place in Syria and other parts of the Middle East. There's nothing wrong with seeing what God is doing, putting the chessmen on the chessboard, getting ready to snatch the church out and the rapture of the church. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's biblically correct, biblically authoritative, and ought to be done. But Russell Moore says no. In fact, Russell Moore says further. Russell Moore warns against jumping to conclusions about the end time. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not jumping to conclusions when you look at what the Word of God says and take it in context and the interpretation of that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today compromising the truth of the gospel. Some of our religious leaders today are now speaking out against teaching and preaching against the prophetic events. Some multitudes of our denominational pastors are simply afraid to hurt the Democrats' feelings, but have used the 501c3 as a rule or regulation to be silent. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. I'll touch on this, and we'll close the broadcast today with a little explanation. Headline, these 10 religious universities earn high marks with the LGBTQ agenda. Subtitle says, faith-based schools are now lining up to the LGBTQ inclusive values. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a frightening 5-page article. Introduced in this fashion, several Christian universities have earned high marks for being gay-friendly in a new report from the Campus Pride, a nonprofit focused on making higher education more inclusive for the LGBTQ sodomite students. And the 2021 Best of the Best list honors 34-year institutions from across the United States that have earned a perfect score of 5 on the Campus Pride Index, which evaluates LGBTQ-friendly policies, programs, and practices. These schools include Kent State University, Turfs University, North Kentucky University, Kenyon Canyon University in Virginia, etc. This year, Campus Pride also signed up 10 religious schools living up to the LGBTQ-inclusive values. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the demise of the foundation of our nation. And if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 120